Today's shir is Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Chaf Aleph. We will begin on Daf Chaf Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. We learned in the Mishnah that amongst the rights that a king has is that he's pirates loy, lasses loy derech. He has the right to impound any area to make a road for how he can to get what he needs. Tanar Rabbanan says the Braisa Oitzus Melochim, if wealth comes to Klal Yisrael through war, Lamelech, that belongs to the king. Shabbi is a Shabbizazin. The other thing, anything else, Mechzal Melech, Mechzal Am, 50% goes to the king and 50% goes to the rest of the people. Amalei Bailer of Dimi, Amalei. That anything that was taken from one country's king goes to our king is also Orchid Milsa. That's proper, that's understandable. Things from one king go to the other king. Ella Shabiz Shabizin. The rest that they take, that we just learned that the halach is Mechzla Melech Mechzla Am. 50% to the king and 50% to everyone else. Menolon. Says the Maradik Siv, because the Pasuk says, V'yimshchu l'Hashem l'nogir l'tzadik. The Pasuk speaks to, about David HaMelech, about Shloima and Tzadik. Makish nogir l'tzadik. Says the Gemara, the Pasuk refers to the king as a nogid, and the Pasuk means to say that the king is treated like Tzadik. Tzadik was the Kohen Gadol. And says the Gemara, just like when we speak about the Kohen Gadol, Machtze, Mat Tzadik, when they divided every Shabbos, the Lechem HaPonim, half of the Lechem HaPonim were given to the Kohen Gadol, and the rest were divided amongst all the people. Machtze Loi or Machtze L'Achiv, half to the Kohen Gadol and half to the rest of the people. So it says the Gemara, so too when we speak about the king, Af Nogid, when we speak about the king, Machtz Eloi or Machtz Elachiv, it's divided 50-50. V'tzadik gufo minolan. So ask the Gemara, and where do we know that this halacha that we just stated that happens with the Kohen Gadol, where do we know this halacha from? The Tanya, the Pasuk says, regarding the distribution of the Lechem upon him, Rabbi Omer, the Pasuk says, V'hoysel Aaron l'bonav. Then we learn from that pasuk, Mechzel Aaron or Mechzel Abanim, half to go to the Kohen Gadol and half will go to everyone else. The Torah also teaches us some very specific rules regarding the Melech. The Torah says, Rak lo yarba lo yisusim, lo yoshevus on mitzrayma, lo maharbasus. A king is not allowed to have many horses. Hashem omelechem, because Egypt was the main supplier of horses, and they did not want that people, V'Hashem Amalechem, Lo Yisusif and Lo Shev Adarech HaZa'od, that we shouldn't go back that way to go to Egypt for horses. And then the Pasuk says, Lo Yarbon Lo Yinoshim, he shouldn't have too many wives, Lo Yosel Avavai, that would cause him to leave the way of Hashem. The Kesef Zav Lo Yarbon Lo Yimoid, and he shouldn't have too much wealth, says the Gemara. When the Torah says that he's not allowed to have too many wives, what does that mean? He's only allowed to have up to 18 wives. He's allowed to have more wives. The concern that the Torah said is that the wives should not cause him to leave the way of Hashem. So it says if there are wives that have that ability, wives that will take him away from the Hashem, then they should not, those are the wives he has to stay away from. If Shimran Mafila asks him seriously, by any wife that could do that, he's Hareza Lo Yisena. Imkem Lo Menemar, what does the Torah say, Lo Yab Lo Yinoshim, that says the Bryce, says the Mishnah, Dafilu, even if he has many wives that are as great as Avigail, who was the wife of David and known as a great tzaddikus, 18 is still the maximum. So there's many different pshatim how to understand this Mishnah. Some explain that the way to understand the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, that's how Tosfos learns, are arguing how to understand the opinion of the Tanna Kamma, that the machlokes will be that the Tanna Kamma says that you has to be careful about wives that cause them to leave the way of Hashem, and that is machlokes of Yehuda Rabbi Shimon, how to understand that opinion, how to understand that. Does that mean as long as they don't take him away, then he could have more? Was 18 a maximum under all circumstances? There are other Rishonim, the Adrama, who say that there's a different way of understanding. The Tanna Kamma is of the opinion that he's not allowed to have more than 18 wives. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that wives who will cause him to stray, then the halacha is that he can't have more than 18 of those type of wives. And wives that are tzaddikus, he can have as many as he want. And Rav Shimon's opinion is that wives who may cause him to stray, he can't even marry one such woman. And women who don't cause him to stray, then he can only have a maximum of 18. But we learned that Rav Yehuda's opinion is that even though the Torah says that lo yarbu lo noshim, there's not a lot I have, and we're going to see in a moment where the number 18 comes from, that he's not allowed to have loyar b'lay noshim, that's only by women who can make him stray. Women who won't make him stray, then the halacha is that he can have as many. Because the Yehuda says that the issue here is that chas v'sholem, they should cause him to stray. So now the question is, where does the Yehuda take this from? It must be because Rabbi Yehuda is learning this from what the Torah says. That the Rabbi Yehuda is saying that the Torah says the reason we're concerned is because they may cause him to stray. So as long as it's not a woman who's going to cause him to stray, he can have as many wives as he wants. So what does that mean? Lememra, Rabbi Yehuda darsh tam dekra. Rabbi Yehuda is explaining the reasoning of the pasuk. The Torah was concerned that he may stray, and that doesn't exist if the wife is a tzaddikus. Rav Shimon, who says it doesn't make a difference, is obviously of the opinion le'darsh tam dekra. Once the Torah put this limit remains no matter what. Ask the Gemara ve'ifcha shaminallah. But in Shas, ask the Gemara, we've seen just the opposite. What does that mean? The Tanya. The pasuk tells us l'sachpoil beged almona, that we're not allowed to take the garment of a widow for a mashkin, for security. The Tanya, the pasuk says almona. The brisa says almona ben she'niya ben she'ishira. It makes a difference if the almona is wealthy or not. Poor or wealthy, aim a mashkin. So we're not allowed to take the security. Shenemar. Because the Torah Kedosha says, "Lo sachbet begel amona." Diver Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Shimon Omer, Ashira Mashkin. I saw if she's wealthy, we may take the security. Ania only if she doesn't have money is the halacha. Ema Mashkin. I saw we may not take the security. Why not? Because at the chayv lahachsala. Because if the security that she needs, we have to go back to her home every night. Vata Masia, Shem Rabbi Shkunaseha. And she's going to get a bad name in her neighborhood. Vamrinan, and in explaining this machloikis, my kamar, how do we understand her kamar? This is what Rav Shimon meant to say. Because you take security from her at the chayv lahachsala, you're going to have to return that security every evening. But the may say Shem Rabbi Shkinasah, the men are going in and out of her home. Alma, Rabbi Yehuda, who didn't subscribe to that. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that lo darsh tam dekra. The Torah says lo sach bet begel almana. Says Rabbi Yehuda, what does the Torah mean to teach us when it says lo sach bet begel almana? You're not allowed to take the begel of almana, and we don't start discussing and analyzing what type of almana she is. The Torah says it's Asur, it's Asur. And Rav Shimon is Darish Tam Dekra, does explain the reason for the Pasuk. So isn't that just the opposite of what we're doing in our Mishnah? Rav Yehuda says, I'm only concerned about wives that can make him do the wrong thing. And Rav Shimon says, no. The Torah says, no, he can't have more than 18 wives, and it doesn't make a difference, says the Gemara. The Alma, in most situations, Rav Yehuda loy Darish Tam Dekra. Rav Yehuda says, the Torah says a halacha, so is the halacha. However, by this case of the king and the wives, Shani Hacha, the Mefarish Tam Dekra, the Torah itself gives us a reason why we don't want the king to marry so many wives. What does the Torah say? Tam, ma tam lo yarv lo noshim. Why does the Torah not want him to marry too many wives? Bishum, de lo yasul avavoy. There's a concern they may cause him to stray. And that's why Rabbi Huda takes that into consideration in establishing what is the halacha. Rav Shimon amalach, Rav Shimon says, michti, ba'al matar shinan tam dekra. Throughout the Torah, Rav Shimon, as we just learned, what he does is he explains the reason for what the Torah said. So if that's the case, and this halacha as well, imkein licht of kra, the Torah should have just said, layar v'lay noshim, v'lishtoik. And it would be understandable that says Rav Shimon, what would I do at that point? V'ano amin, at that point, what would I do? Matam, what is the reason that the king should not, matam layar v'lay, v'shim d'layasa. So when the Torah wrote the words lo yasul avavai, according to Rav Shimon, they're superfluous. Lo yasul avavai lamali, to teach us that fil achas am seriously boy, even one wife, but she who would cause him to stray, hareza lo yasulena, lo yasulena, he may not marry her. Elmanim kayim. So what do we learn from the pasuk of lo yarbalay noshim? That fil avigail, even if the tzadekis, 18 becomes the max. When we speak about the almana that we've been learning now, the Shudar and Shimon discuss the halacha about taking security from almana. The Sma says that this halacha applies whether she's an almana or a grusha. But the Sma, but a basula says the Sma, this halacha doesn't apply. The Shach holds that it's specifically an almana. Because part of what the Torah means is that almana unfortunately lost her husband, so she's very depressed. So that's why we're very sensitive. But it doesn't apply to any other type. And the Taz, however, says, based on our Gemara, that the concern that we just established, that Rav Shimon says, is that people will say that she has a bad, we're worried about her reputation. So as long as this woman is in this category, that she'll have a bad reputation, so that it doesn't make a difference if she's an almana or a grusha or just a single woman. The Sefer Chashukei Chemed discusses if there's a woman who's an almana, she had lost her husband, and now she got remarried, will this halacha still apply? On one hand, she's an almana. She had lost her husband. On the other hand, she's no longer an almana because Baruch Hashem, she got remarried. So certainly, if we follow the opinion of Rav Shimon that's concerned about the reputation, so that falls away once she's remarried. If we, however, follow the other opinions that say that it depends if she's an almana, so it could be once she had that status of being an almana, that remains her status even if she's remarried. So as we've been speaking, that the king has a limitation of 18 wives. I actually saw that the Ragachover discusses what's the halacha if there's an individual who had more than 18 wives and now he became king. Does the halacha say that he has to divorce one of those wives because he became now king, or he had those wives prior to his becoming king? So the Ragachover connects this shaila to a shaila that applies to a Kohen Gadol as well. The Torah Kedoshah says, regarding a Kohen Gadol, that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a almana. The Kohen Gadol must marry a besula. And what happens if there was an individual who, a Kohen, who married a almana, which a Kohen Hedyot is allowed to marry an almana, or he married a woman who wasn't a besula, and then he was appointed to be Kohen Gadol. That the halacha is that since when he married that woman, he was allowed to marry that woman. So just because he was appointed to being Kohen Gadol doesn't mean that he has to divorce that wife. And the same halacha will apply here. If the king, there was an individual who married more than 18 wives, and he wasn't a melech, so he doesn't have that limitation, and then he becomes melech, he doesn't have to divorce one of those wives. He could continue being married to her as long as they were married before. So again, the Mishnah taught us that there's a limitation of 18 kings, 18 wives. So ask the Gemara, Hani Shmon Esrim Nolam, what is the basis of this number 18? The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, by Dovid HaMelech, Vivaldu Dovid Baran Bechevron, Vihi Bechayra Amnam, Lachinam HaYisraelis, Umishneim, Umishnei Kilov Lavigail, Eishas Novel HaKarmeli, Vashlishi Avshalom Bamacha, Revi Adinuya Ben Chagis, Vachamisha Shef Daya Ben Avital, Vashishi Yisram Lagola Eishas Dovid, Elu Yoldu Ludovid Bechevron. So the Pasuk mentions six wives, the Kamlei HaNovi, and then the Novi tells him, Im Matloch Noshim Elu, if these women, if this amount of women are not enough for you, Vasifaloch Kehena or Kehena. So Kehena, that we'll be able to have more Kehena, Kehena. Kehena compares us to the original number. So we start with Shit. Kehena is another six. Or Kehena is another six. That gives us a total to have Le Tamni Sari 18 wives. Maskla Ravina, to which Ravina asks, Ema Kehena, maybe what the definition of Kehena is six, so that would be indeed 12. And then when the Pasuk says the other word Kehena, it's to on top of those 12, which would give us Eser V'Arba, a total of 24. And Tanya Mihachi, and says the Gemara, there is indeed a Braisa that supports that, the Layerba Laynashim, Yoysim Eser V'Arba, that the number is 24. Says the Gemara, according to the Man D'Omer that in Shas uses takes the word letter Vav and darshens it, so that will give us a total of Abayim Shmoina, 48. Kehena will give us 6. So now that gives us 6 plus 6 is 12. Then the word, the letter Vav, will give us another 12, which will be 24. And then the word Hena will give us another 24 for a total of 48. And indeed, says the Gemara, Tanya Namihochi, the Braisa says, Lo Yarbaloi Noshim means Yosim Abraham Shemona, he's not allowed to have more than 48 wives. Ask the Gemara, but our Tana, in our Mishnah, who said that the number is 18, but Tana did not my Tame, where does he get to the reason, why is he limited to 18? Amar Papa, Amar of Kahana, Sir of Kahana says, Makish Kahana Basra, the last time the Torah used the word Kehena, La Kehena Kama, to the first time the Torah used Kehena. Mahena Kama is 6, because that's the comparison to the amount of wives that David HaMelech already had. Afkehena Basra cannot more than 6, says the Gemara V'Avoy. But the Pasuk that we read spoke about 6 wives, but he also had Michal, as we discussed in our previous year. So that should be another wife. Answers the Gemara, Amarav, there's a wife that's mentioned in the Pasuk, Egla, and Egla Zu Michal. And says the Gemara, V'loma Nikushmai Egla, why does she have the name Egla? Says the Gemara, Shechaviva La Ke'Egla, that a term of endearment to a wife is Egla. V'kein Ha'aymer, and so it says in the Pasuk, by Shimshim, Lulei Hechrashtem, Beglossi, that there was a riddle that they wanted Shimshon to answer. Shimshon posed the riddle, and his wife was the one that forced her to give him the answer, to give tell her the answer, and he calls his wife a glossy. And in fact, I saw that the Sefer Teres Chaim says that when we started with the pasuk mentioning all the wives of David, by Egla, it says Eshes David, the wife of David. By the other wives, the Torah doesn't use those words. Why? Because as we just said, David HaMelech had a particular affinity to that, to Michal, Egla. So to show that he had that special affinity by that wife, more than by any of the other wives, does the pasuk use the word Eshes David to show us the special relationship. Says the Gemara, but how can we say that? The pasuk mentions the children of Egla, but we learned, Umi Havel Mechel B'ni, asking whether Mechel have any children. Vaksiv, doesn't the pasuk say, Ula Mechel Bashal Lohoy Loy Vlad Ajay Mosai, she never had children? Answers the Gemara, Omar Rav Chizda Ajay Mosai Lohoy Loy, she didn't have any children until the day she died. However, she obviously had a child in childbirth, and therefore she did have children. Ask the Gemara, Michti, Banu Hechikachoshulhu. But ask the Gemara, where does this pasuk that we began with speak? It was said in Chevron. And Vila Maisa Mechel, the pasuk that we just read, that seems to indicate that she didn't have children until the day she died. But on the day she died, she had children. That happened later when David HaMelech was already in Yerushalayim. The Ksiv, the pasuk says that David HaMelech came to Yerushalayim, and the pasuk speaks about David HaMelech bringing the Aron into Yerushalayim and how David HaMelech was dancing with all of his energy, L'kavra Torah. And the pasuk says, U'meichal ba'ashol nishkfa ba'ara chaloyim. Mechel Bashal looks out the window, the Teres Melech Hadavim Fazbeh is a Mecharkeg Lefnei Hashem, and she sees Hadavim Melech is dancing. The Tivas LaBeliba, she thought that wasn't the way a king is supposed to behave. Vamer Yehuda Vitaim Rav Yosef, Shokla Michal Mitrvsa. The Micha, which is wrong, Kavod HaTorah teases us that we should show that simcha, that enjoyment of the Torah, and at that point, she was punished that she had no more children. So we see that she had children only in Yerushalayim, not in Chevron. Ela'ema, ad oisemaisa hayala, she had children before this story where she embarrassed David. Mekavel chloi hayala, and that's why it makes sense to say that she did Egla is Michal, and she did have children. Actually, the Yad Ramah says that the way to understand this Gemara is that Michal was actually a tzedekis, and that she got punished in this world for acting this way towards her husband, for showing the simcha to the Torah, and she not to get punished in the next world. Says the Gemara, how can we say that David HaMelech had just these 18 wives? The pasuk says, "V'yikach David oid pelakshiv v'noshim v'yushlayim," that he had more wives. Answers the Gemara, yes, he had more wives. However, he had more wives just to reach the number 18. So the pasuk just mentioned that David HaMelech had pelakshim v'noshim. So ask the Gemara, my noshim and my pelakshim. What is the difference between noshim and pelakshim? Amar Yehuda Marav, to which the Gemara answers, Noshim b'kedushin. A wife has full-fledged kedushin. Pelakshin, but when we speak about a wife who is a pelegish, b'loy ksuba b'loy kedushin, there is no ksuba and kedushin in that marriage. Amar Yehuda Marav, Abba Meis Yiladim Hayla David. David HaMelech, says the Gemara, had 400 children. V'kulam b'nei yifas toyahava. We know the Torah Akdosha speaks about a Yifas Toyer, that if somebody goes out to war and he sees a woman that he wants to marry, a non-Jewish woman, there's an entire procedure how he can marry her. And David HaMelech had 400 such children. Megadli Beloyus Havu. They had a very interesting hairstyle. V'kulam Yosh V'kronish Elzov. They all sat in golden chariots. Mahalchim Barash Gaisus Havu. They were the captains in David HaMelech's army. V'hemayu Baal Grefin Shal Be David. And they were the people that caused the enemies should be scared. So there's a lot, there are very many questions to ask here. The first question is that the halacha is that the fast tire is only permissible one per war. So how did David HaMelech end up with 400 such children? So the Mefarshim asked this question, and some say that David HaMelech must have had so many different, gone to so many battles. Another pshat is that doesn't mean that they were all his children. There were 400 such children who were brought up in his house. The question also is, which is an old question, Machlokes Rishonim, when the Torah HaKadosha allows a person to take a fast tire, does that mean before he did Geirus with the woman or after he did Geirus with the woman? From our Gemara, it seems that our Gemara is teaching us that it was before, that these children are not considered the Jewish children, so it's a proof that the Bnei Yifas Toyar, you're allowed to have relations with this woman even before she is Mizgayer. And the Gemara continues, Vam Rav Yudah Meraf, Tamar, the Pasuk speaks about Tamar, the daughter of David, Bas Yifas Toyar Haisa, Shenemar, what happened was that Amnon wanted to marry her. And she says to him, tells Amnon, Vata dabe el melech, dabe no el melech, speak to the king, kilo yim nani mimcha, he won't hold you back. Now ask the Gemara, Yisal kadatach, if we're going to say that Bas Nasun have that David HaMelech married her mother, who was Yifas Toyer, so Acha Miav Sharila, so they were siblings from the same father. El Shmaminop, Bas Yifas Toyer. So here too, if we follow the opinion that the Yifas Toyer, when the man has relations with the Yifas Toyer, she's not yet converted, so her child is not Jewish, and a child is not connected to the father. And if the child is not connected to the father, so they're not considered siblings, and that's why they can marry. But what are we going to say, according to the opinion, that when we speak about the Yifas Toyer, before he has relations with her, he's Megayer her, he converts her. So if he converts her, so then when she's born, she is the child of this mother, she is the child of this father. So why was this going to work? So the answer, so I saw the Rishonim ask that question, according to the opinion that Yifas Toyer takes place after Geirus. And they say that, well, we're going to have to say that Tamar was born from a Bas Yifas Toyer, that her mother was pregnant before David had relations with her. So that, therefore, she wasn't the child, she wasn't the biological child of David, because her mother was pregnant from before, and that's what Tamar meant to say. We're not siblings. We don't have it in any way the same parents, and the king will let me marry you, says the Gemara. The Gemara discusses that episode. The Pasuk says, Ula Amnon Reya, Amnon had a friend, Ushma Yondav ben Shimon Achi David, the Yondav Ish Chacham. He was a very wise man. Amar Yehuda, Amarav, what did he use his wisdom for? Ish Chacham Larisha. He used his wisdom to do the wrong thing. For Yomer, and he says, Yondav says to Amnon, Mato ato koch dal ber hamelech. Why are you so upset? And Amnon tells him, because I want to have relations, I want to be able to marry Tamar. V'yomer Yondav. So Yondav gives him this advice. Shav al meshkofcha v'hischol. Go lay on your bed as if you're sick, and your father will come visit you. And then your father when your father comes to, and he asks you, what could we do to help you? She says, "Osalayna sabriya." He asks, bring tamar, have tamar come to make this food for me, because that will make me feel better, and then you'll do what you do. Matikach hamishras. So the pasuk says that the tamar came, brought the frying pan, v'titzik lefanav. Amar Yehuda Barav, shasla mina tigun. She made for him different fried food. And the Ben Yoyod explains this gemara, that tamar knew what's going on here. So why did tamar agree? Why didn't tamar just send the food ready-made to him? So that's why the pasuk says that the food that was sent was food that needs to be fried and can only be eaten fresh. And therefore, she had to prepare it in front of him. And at that point, Amnon has forced himself upon her. And at that afterwards, the pasuk says, "V'yisna'a Amnon sina gedoyle ma'oid." My tama, why did he hate her? He got what he wanted. Amar Yitzhak, nima nikshaloi v'asa k'rashivcha. By having relations with her, she caused him not to be able to have any more children. Nikshala, if he got caught up, so she didn't do anything wrong. So Avda, why did he hate her? She didn't do anything. Elaima says the Gemara, nima, that Tamar did something to cause him that he shouldn't be able to have children. Aini asked the Gemara, but how could that happen? That there's no here that they could do this with at that point. Shani says the Gemara, but that's not a question, because Tamar is a Bas Yifas Toyer Haver, and she doesn't have the characteristics of a Jewish woman. The pasuk continues, V'tikach Tamar Efer Al Roisha, Uksoinus Apasma Shaleh Kara, she put ash on her head, and the garment that she was wearing, she tore. Tana Meshmed Rishum Levi, Gadol Gadol God Tamar Vayishah. At that point, Tamar did something very powerful. Amra, if the daughter of a king cannot be protected, then certainly any other girl is very vulnerable. If a girl who acts in the most modest fashion can become violated, those who don't act that way are certainly more exposed. At that point, they made a rule that men and women can never be together. But when the Torah speaks about yichud, it speaks about yichud with an erva, with a woman whom you may not marry. Even a pnuya, a man should never be alone, is not allowed to be alone with a single woman. Ask the Gemara, yichud deraisahu. The es of yichud is es of deraisa. Dom Rav Yaakov Shimon Rav Shimon Ben Yitzadik, remez liyichud min atayim minayim. How do we know that Yichud is also with the Raisa? Shenemar ki yisischa achicha benimecha. If your brother from your same mother will try to convince you to worship Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara asks, v'chi ben emesis ben av emesis. It's only the brother that you have from the same mother where we have that concern, and not a brother from a father. El aloy melech. What is the Torah trying to teach us here? Ben Mesiachrim Imai, a son could be alone with his mother. However, they can't be alone with any other woman. El Ema, what they said at that point is that they made, as we explained, the Isson Yichud de Pnuya. A single girl is not an erva, so the halacha of Yichud ought not to apply to such a girl. But if after this terrible episode, they extended it to here also. The pasuk speaks about Adoniah ben Chanis, who was one of, as we said, David Melech's children, and he says, "Adoniah ben Chanis misnas leima ani emlech." He was saying that I will be the successor of David Melech. Amar Rabbi Duraf, Melamed she bikeish lechamai v'loy chamasai. She took the king's crown, but it didn't fit on his head. And the way the Mefarshim explained the Gemara is that the crown of the Malchus Beis David was a very interesting crown. It had like a piece going from one end to the other. And how could you put on your head something that has such a piece going from one end to the other? It's because there was a hole, indentation in the scalp of David HaMelech and the people who were supposed to be his successors. But he, Adonijo, did not have that indentation in his scalp. And he couldn't fit on the crown of David HaMelech. So says the Gemara, my Ravusa, what is the big deal about 50 men running in front of him? Says the Gemara, Amar Yudam Rav, that all these people, Kulam Natule Tchol, they were all people that had the spleen removed. And if you have your spleen removed, that gives you more energy. Chakuke Kapas Reglaim Hayu, that they had the bottom of their legs, also of their feet, modified, that when they run on thorns or on anything that's painful, they wouldn't feel it. The Mishnah, a king is not allowed to have too many horses. How many horses may he have? El Kedela Makafte, as much as he needs for his army. The Kesvazav Layarbalai, he's not allowed to have, as we learned, too much money. How much is he allowed to have? Ella kedei liten l'sfanya, as much as he needs that for to support the government and his army. The pasuk also says regarding a king. The kassel I sefer Torah l'shmai. He writes a sefer Torah. Yoytzel mechama, when he goes out to war, mitzin imay, it goes with him. Nichnas, when he comes back, it comes with him. Yoshibadin, when he's sitting in the entire, he imai, it's with him. Mesiv, when he's sitting to eat, he connect, it's there. Shinema, as the pasuk says, v'hayis imai v'karba koy mechayov. The Ran asks that we learned previously that the melech loydon v'loydon in Isai. The king doesn't participate as in part of the entire. So the question is, what did the Mishnah mean when he is don v'don in Isai? So one teretz that he offers is that even though we've excluded the king from being a judge, that doesn't mean regarding Dinei Mominus. Dinei Mominus, he can be a judge. Another pshat that I saw is that we're speaking here about the Malchei Beis David. And as we learned, that even though Malchei Melochim are excluded, Malchei Beis David can be included in the entire. Tana Rabbanan begins the Gemara, the Pasuk says, as we've been learning, the king can't have too many horses. Yochel, says the Braisa, filu k'dei makaftei proshev, even as many as he needs. Tamalaymer, loy. What the Pasuk says is, loy in a marba. For his own personal use, he's not going to have too many horses. Amabahu k'dei richvei proshev. What he needs for his army, he's allowed to have. So ask the Gemara, what does this mean? Susim? Susim abatlonim. Animals that don't do anything, those kind of animals, he's not allowed to have. Minayin shafil sus echad, continues the Braisa. How do we know that even one horse, vubatil, and it's not being used, shulo yarba, even one is something that he's not allowed to have? Tamaloyma leman harbasus. The Torah uses the word la harbasus, even one animal. Tamaloyma vichime acher, says the Gemara. If that's the case, the filosus achavu bottle, one horse that's not doing anything, koi blayarba, he violates this of layarba. Susim, when the Torah says layarba le susim, Lamali, what does it say? Lava b'laisosa kosos, to learn that for every single animal, there's a separate aveira. Tama, says the Gemara, the kosrachmana loy, because the Torah said the word loy, so here we learn any animal that he doesn't need is over. Halav hachi, afilu kadai grichar proshav nami loy. If not for that word loy, we would think that even what he needs for his army, he's not allowed to have. Says the Gemara, does that make any sense? Of Of course he needs to have Amri. Says, well, it's Shrichala Fushi. The Pasuk is coming to teach us that he could be generous. In other words, when he's deciding how many animals, how many horses he's allowed to have, what we learn from here is that he could have many, doesn't have to start thinking, every animal, I may be doing something wrong, and therefore I should avoid it. Whatever he thinks he needs, he's allowed to have. The Pasuk says further, he's only allowed to have as much as he needs to support his army. Even the amount that he needs to support his army, for his own personal use, he may not have, but what he needs for his to support the government that he could have. Tama, says the Gemara, the Kas Rechman Eloi. Why is he allowed to have this amount of money? Because the Pasuk used the word loy. Halav Hachi, had the Torah not used that word, Havamina Filakadei Leten Espanya Nami Loi. Even the amount that he needs to support his government is Osir. Does that make any sense? Of course he needs to have money to keep the government running. So the Gemara, Letzricha Larvacha. The Pasuk again is teaching us that he doesn't have to be tight. He could, when he makes the calculation, what he needs, he could be generous. Says the Gemara, Hashd Amrit Loi. So now that we've learned twice in our shir that the word Loi comes to teach us a drasha, so ask the Gemara, Lo Yabba Loi Noshim, my Dashat Bey. What are we going to learn from the Pasuk Loi in the word that Pasuk? To teach us, Lamute Hejoitis. That a regular individual doesn't have this limitation. The halacha is that he could marry. A regular person can marry as many women as he wants. Moreover, when we're talking here about the halacha of money, how much money he's allowed to have, the Chiddush Iran says that if, as we started the shiur today, he went to war with another country and he was able to get much of their money, that isn't a violation of this Gemara. And the Yad Ramah suggests that the entire issa that our Gemara is speaking about is that the Gemara is teaching us that the government, the king, is not allowed to levy too much taxes, that the king should have a lot of money. But that's the whole point of this. But if he gets money not through raising taxes, that is mutter. The Mechas Chinuch disagrees. Mechas Chinuch, and he says, based on the Rambam, that the Torah doesn't want that the king should have too much money. And when because that could cause him to act improperly. And even if he got, and therefore the Mechas Chinuch's opinion is that even if the king got the money in a way which was not burdensome on the people of the country, the Torah still doesn't want him to have too much money because it could cause him to act improperly. Rabbi Yehuda Rami, Ksiv, the healer Shlomo Abam, Bar El Avris Susum Lamakavai. The Shlomo Melech had 4,000 stables. V'ksivi hi l'Shlomo Melech abaras alofim ayis l'susan. Ask the Gemara Ketzad, how do we reconcile these psukim? Im abam elf, says the Gemara, im abam elf astablos hayo, if he had 4,000 of these astablos, kol echav echar hayo abam alofim ayis l'susan. Each one had 4,000 in the 4,000 stables. Then my boss, a lot of stars, how you call a kavaka, how you buy a boim elf avis susum, had in it 40,000. Rav Yitzchak Gromik, Siv, en kesef nechshe b'mei Shlomo Lamuma. The Pasuk says the money wasn't considered significant in the time of Shlomo Melech. The Siv, Yitzchak Shlomo is kesef b'shlaim kavonim. First it says it's meaningless, and then it says it's like stone. Answers, the Gemara like Kasha. Before Shlomo Melech married Bas Paroi, then money was nothing. Once he married Bas Paroi, whom he should not have married, then he was diminished that the money is like stones. The moment that Shlomo Melech married the Bas Paroi, Yard Gavriel v'not kona b'yam, Gavriel came down and put a stick in the ocean, fell a certain, and earth started forming around it. And that's where the Roman Empire began. And that, of course, we know was a terrible enemy of Klal Yisrael. Why does the Pasuk not give us the reason for different halachas? Says the Gemara, Shreshtem across that two psukim, this galo tamam, that the Torah gives us the reason, and nichshem begod lo'olam, and the person, the great Shlomo Melech, ended up tripping. The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, lo yarbe le'noshim, that the king shouldn't have too many wives, and the Pasuk says, v'lo yosel v'avai. I'm a Shlomo, so Shlomo said that me, no problem, ani arba, I will have many wives, but I am righteous, v'loyasu, and they won't cause me to stray. Ksiv, but the pasuk says, v'hila eis zikna shleima noshu hitus levavai. As Shlomo Melech got old, they did cause him to stray. Ksiv, the pasuk says, l'yabal eisusim, shleiman v'loyoshev es am mitzrayma, to avoid us, to go back to Mitzrayim, and am shleima ni arba v'loyoshev, I will have many wives and I have nothing to worry about. Ksiv, Makav Mitzrayim b'shei she ended up to go back to Mitzrayim. We learned in the mission of Kaiseloi, Sevet Torah Lishma, Tana, Vachlo Yisgah b'shei l'avoysov. He can't rely on the Sevet Torah that he got from his forefathers. He has to write his own Sevet Torah. Amma, Rabba, Api Shenichal Avoysov la'adam, Sevet Torah, even though a person has a Sevet Torah that he inherited from his father, mitzvah lichta mishalai, there's a mitzvah to write his own Sefer Torah. Shanam v'atem kisvulchem, as a shira zois. Esa Abaya, ask Abaya, the Brisa says, v'kaisiv Sefer Torah l'shma, shalizgab shalacherim. So doesn't that seem to indicate that melech in, that this halacha applies by a melech, hedyit, but everyone else, it doesn't apply. And if you have a Sefer Torah that you inherited, it's good enough. Says the Gemara, like tzricha shtei Torahs. The Tasuk is teaching us that the king has to have two Sifrei Torah. Ketanya, the Kosov Loi, Mishnah Torah Azois, Kosov Lishmoi, Shtei Torahs. He writes two Torahs. Achashi Yoitsev Nechnasimoi, one that he takes with him, and Achashi Menachs Beis Genozov. Oysa Shi Yoitsev Nechnasimoi, the one that he goes with all the time, says the Gemara, Oysa Oysa Kamin Kameya, made small Sefer Torah that looks like a kameya, the Talib is Roya, and he puts this on his hand. Shnema Shivisi Hashem Negli Summit Kimini Bal Summit. Ain't a Nichnas Bar, but he may not enter Loyal Base Americas for Loyal Base Akisei, he may not enter the bathroom or the bathhouse. Shnema Hoysim of Kara, but Mokam Haroya Likus Bar. You could only carry it to a place where you could read from it. Omar Zutri Tame Mar Ukva. But Chilin Nit the Torah Yisrael, and so from here we see that every Melech has to have, everybody has a mitzvah to write his own Sefer Torah. And of course, the Rishonim discuss this mitzvah, and they say, number one, from here we see that you only fulfill the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah if you're holding on to the Sefer Torah. If you give the Sefer Torah, for example, to a shul, then you're not fulfilling the mitzvah. Because the mitzvah is that you should have, the Sefer Torah should belong to you. Also, the Rosh writes that the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah doesn't really apply b'zman hazeh. He says the purpose of writing a Sefer Torah is to have a Sefer Torah to learn from. But we don't use the Sefer Torah that to learn from. We have Svarim, and therefore the Rosh suggests that the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah that we fulfill b'zman hazeh is through buying Sfarim and using those Sfarim to learn from. That is the proper way to write, to fulfill the mitzvah. There are those that suggest that the small Sefer Torah that the Melech wrote didn't have the whole Sefer Torah written on it, but rather it was written, some say just with the Seres HaTebris, some say that it was written in a way that Beremez, that you should know what it says in the Sefer Torah, but it wasn't written necessarily in a way that you had all of the words written out. It's just too small to be able to do that.